Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
It's a football. It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hand.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible football podcast, where we would like to, in the interest of full disclosure, mention that I had gone to Parc des Princes, which was the only football stadium that I visited in the entire last year. And we are not surprised at the result that we want to talk to everyone about on this pod, which is, of course, PSG finally to the promised land and winning the Champions League final after us having made an entire career out of dissecting PSG's losses in Champions League knockout games. One of those dissectors was Vishal, who's joining in from Bangalore.
Hello, guys.
And another of those was Karan. Welcome back, Karan, from London.
Hello, guys.
So, Karan, as the European correspondent, and of course, as we had speculated and expressed the concern that Karan might not be available for this pod, because what if Inter Milan were to pull off a title-winning run? But as it turns out, it did not take too long for PSG to put those ghosts to bed in Munich with a quite young squad nonetheless. So, gentlemen, let's try and find out the sense in all of this, because if you look back at the entire journey, they had an early loss to Arsenal, 2-0, I think, early in the league stage. And at that point of time, there were a lot of questions being raised about Luis Enrique's style, his tactics, I think, and he's had a frosty relationship with the media in general. So there were a few barbs exchanged back then, particularly after he has been obviously transforming PSG into a very different club than the superstar club that it had sold its soul to become. And also, of course, as we remember, Michel Platini and Nicolas Sarkozy getting into the shenanigans of getting Qatar awarded the World Cup in exchange of Qatari investment in PSG, which turned them around. But all those aside, gentlemen, yesterday's game, PSG 5, Inter Milan 0, one of the most comprehensive victories, you could say, in any of the European tournaments this season, and certainly in the Champions League in a while. Quick word on the game, we'll begin with Vishal.
Oh, well, they came, they destroyed, and they left. It was very clear almost from the first 2 to 3 minutes that the direction this game was going, because Inter Milan should have expected the style of football, did not come prepared for it, did not have this. Honestly, they lacked the players, the skill set, and the ability to match what PSG had decided to throw at them yesterday. And it was so one-sided. But yeah, I think you've got to give credit to PSG for one being one of those clubs who are able to, you know, truly reflect, understand where they went wrong and correct it so well.
And I'll quickly bring in Karan in here, primarily because we want to dissect famous last words from Inzaghi, who said at the pre-match, or I think the previous day pre-match conference, that we have studied the way they play and we'll be ready. Those were his exact words, which is also what I think Vishal said before his quant exam. No.
Oh, I did not see that coming.
He said that to me, by the way.
And the results are not too dissimilar. So, Karan, I mean, you could obviously make fun of Inzaghi and say that they had not really prepared. But is it a case of, let's say, Luis Enrique and PSG playing a brand of football that is kind of hard to counter?
Yes, to some extent, yes. But having said that, I think where Inter Milan went wrong is they just did not learn. Very, very early in the game, it was pretty obvious that, PSG were going to be pre PSG were pressing them and pressing them hard, and they still kind of tried to, play the ball out from the back and, try to kind of play a quick passing game. All of that, all well and good when, things are going your way, but when it's fairly clear in a big game like this, and the quality of the opposition, you need to be able to start making changes on the run, and you cannot, wait for halftime, because it could have been a lot worse at halftime than just 2-0. Because 2-0, in many ways, kind of flatters them in many ways, because it, like I said, it could have been very, very, it could have been done in basically 30, 35 minutes that game. And some of the defending was, my God, it was atrocious. I was actually sitting with a couple of guys in the pub, and we were marveling at the idiocy of the defending, because I think it was a DiMarco. He was playing at left wing back, right? He was basically at fault for both first goals. And who scored the first goal? I think it was Hakimi was the one who scored the first goal. Now he plays at right back. How you allow a right back to score from the 6-yard box is beyond me.
I wouldn't honestly fault the players, because it comes down to asking a set of players who shouldn't be playing a style of football to play that style of football, hoping that PSG run themselves to the ground. Well, did Inzaghi and team do enough of their homework? Because PSG have been running themselves to the ground the whole season, have not been getting tired, and it's not incidental. So they did not have these players who could pull this style of football. It's almost like how Arsenal brought Petr Cech to Arsenal and asked him to play out football from the back, right? It was a disaster in the making. And the same, these players were not equipped to play that style of football with these kind of players. So I think the manager should take a big, big chunk of this blame, honestly, too. And like Karan rightly said, like for him to wait till halftime to even try and correct that was even more criminal. So
Yeah, which is
Inzaghi was
again,
definitely not ready.
which definitely is something that kind of is lost on the general art or discussions about it, because we have talked about it before. In fact, in one of our episodes this season, we have talked about Ancelotti and his pressure that he has for kind of making these on the fly adjustments and solving problems when he comes up against issues like these. But clearly not Inter. But let's talk about Luis Enrique and PSG for a bit, primarily because despite whatever aspersions one might cast on the quality of the French league and everything else, history will still say that Luis Enrique is the first manager or the first manager with the male team anyway, I think, to have gotten two different trebles under his belt. And somebody who seems to be fairly driven by this one style that he prefers, which is what he has done in Barcelona, and which is what he has now done at PSG. So, gentlemen, who would want to break down Luis Enrique's philosophy or his style?
Oh, well, philosophy is a great place to start with, right? Because philosophy, Luis Enrique, any job he has interviewed with has been categorically clear, saying if I take a job, it's on very specific terms, on very specific requirements, levels of investment, and the types of players who you bring in, which will be as per what I want. And if none of that matches, he refuses to take up a job. And you can see why, because it was very easy for anybody who came took up the job at PSG was under the assumption lots of money to spend, best players in the world and already at my disposal, I'm possibly going to win. How can one fail? And I think PSG over the last 10 years showed us how one can fail. The way he set up this team is completely different. Got rid of lots of noise, got rid of all the unwanted noise around him. Lost Mbappe, but did not for a second say that the world was coming to an end. Bought in the right players who played his style of football, gave the club a little bit of an identity which they were genuinely lacking, and now see the outcome. Dembele, who was considered done and dusted with all his injuries in Barcelona, is suddenly one of the best players in the world. So it just takes a spark. It just takes consistency and believing in one's own style of football, and that's the outcome that we've seen in this PSG team. The best
Yeah.
midfield I've seen in Europe by far, and everything just clicks in that club. Everything just clicks on the field for that club, and it's beautiful to watch, honestly.
And I think one interesting part also that since you mentioned about him as in Luis Enrique not being compromising with his philosophy and style, he's done the same thing in the Spanish national team as well. And you don't often see a manager's standard style so seamlessly carry over sort of a club, then the national team, and then the club again, although you could argue the original club was Barcelona, and they did supply a significant portion of that national team. But we'll bring in our European correspondent on this. Karan, your take on Luis Enrique and what we could expect going forward.
Well, I think he's in many ways he's achieved something that, like Vishal said, other managers, well-renowned managers in their own right, have failed to do, and that is winning the Champions League with PSG, right? And ironically, he did it without any of the so-called superstars. No, Mbappe is gone, Messi is gone, Neymar is gone, and in many ways, this team is completely different from the teams that earlier managers have had, and he's actually gotten the best out of them in many ways. So earlier, PSG was a club which basically signed superstars and tried to build a team around them. But here, he's been able to kind of mold a bunch of players to kind of play a certain way, which is, I think, a credit in its own way. And to be fair, like you said, I mean, you know, he, it's not a, it, it's not really surprising considering he's done this before, second treble, and I think he's definitely one to look out for years to come.
In fact, the run that he had with the Spanish national team wasn't half bad either. I mean, obviously they had
Yeah, well, there you go.
they
Yeah,
had a
and to be fair, people forget that he did a fairly decent job at Roma as well. Just that, you know, he didn't have the kind of support that he's getting at PSG or even at Barcelona.
I think the challenge for PSG is going to be to keep him engaged and keep him there for a long period of time, because his style of management is ever con it's almost a Jurgen Klopp level of involvement, right? That it takes a lot out of the individual, which is why he walked. Though personal issues aside, he was still tired after Barcelona. He he's not somebody who's necessarily thinking of this in the next 10 years or 7 8 years. So that might be the challenge for PSG to hold on to him, because if they hold on to him for a decent amount of time, domestic success we all know will continue happening, because there's not really too much to challenge them there. But European, they could consistently look at dominating Europe for time to come, and they have the players, they have young players, they have a young core. And with winning Champions League, they will start attracting more players into PSG again. So this could be a game changer for PSG and the way their future is shaped.
Yeah, and which could actually change the balance in European football a little bit, which one might think that you might actually want to see. I mean, Ancelotti's gone out of Real Madrid. There is fresh waves of change in Barcelona, so there is the Spanish angle as well. The English clubs would want to think that they are resurgent in Europe as well, but obviously the counterweight then comes from somebody like a France, which traditionally has not been a huge European superpower across the three leagues. So that could be the new era. And of course, we will continue to track this new era and the rest. Quick word, gentlemen, since we are going into a summer hiatus after this, on the season as a whole, because this has been, well, first time winners all through. At least in terms of the major trophies in England and in Europe, the two beats that we covered. So a quick word on what you thought of the season, regardless of Karan, Juve's performance and Vishal Manchester United's.
I think after many, many years, I think we've had a solid season of football where there were surprises, there were upsets, there were massive upsets, there were teams like, for a change, it was great to see the likes of Manchester City getting challenged in England. It was great. I genuinely did not think the European format would work out this well. It was a pleasant surprise for me as well to see how the European format worked out. Some surprises there with some smaller clubs going far. I think it was a good precedent to set. I think now clubs are going to build on this. So I'm quite looking forward to next year after a long time, because I think everybody knows how we were a little tired of how predictable and how much football had how much football was dominated by just by money. That's not going to change, but suddenly there seems to be a breath of fresh air in terms of how people are managing and approaching this. And so I think there's something to be optimistic about here.
And that was very closely correlated with the number of episodes we are putting out. So we have almost put out 20 episodes this season, which kind of tells you that you have been much more involved with this season than others. So
That's
Karan,
true.
your thoughts on
Yeah, I mean, 20 episodes, and we actually did like three Serie A episodes back to back, which is like the first time as well. No, but I think I agree. I think the best part for me this season was, the giant killings in many ways. Crystal Palace winning a cup, Bologna winning a cup. Teams like, and even teams like Nottingham Forest, teams like Bournemouth, all of them at some point of time did kind of Nottingham Forest have had realistic ambitions of even making the Champions League, which unfortunately didn't work out. But I think it was a fantastic story. Bournemouth was a fantastic story. The league in Italy, for example, going down to the wire, more nervous about who was not going to win than anything else. But I think, and we also did an episode where we covered the Norwegian team. What was it? Bondo?
Bodo Glimt.
Bodo, them making it to the semi-finals of the Europa League. I think a lot of such stories, and hopefully we get to see more of these in the coming seasons as well. Because like Michelle said, things had become a bit too predictable in recent seasons, which kind of made things quite monotonous.
All right. So we got our spark and mojo back, and so did well, a lot of these clubs. And like Vishal says, it will be an interesting thing to see next season, which of course is barely 11 weeks away, I think, 10 or 11 weeks. But in between, we have the gaudy monstrosity that is called the Club World Cup.
Oh.
But not to worry, Soccer Sense is not covering that. We'll be back with our usual beat after the summer break is over. That's all the time we have for this episode and this season. In fact, you can listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe to our feed, and we shall see you after the summer once again, hopefully leading up to a World Cup year, gentlemen. So it's going to be a very, very interesting stretch of time, and we'll hope to bring you some pods from the road there. Okay, so this is Tariq signing off along with Vishal
You guys.
and Karan.
Thank you, PSG.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. That's ziprecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.